All right, time to welcome in our good friend from the Lincoln Journal Star, Amy Just, our favorite a-hole. Good morning.
Wow.
Good morning.
You don't have to take that, Amy.
It's a term of endearment, I think.
Oh, man, that is just
context is critical. Thinking. Context is critical on that.
I mean, if people know, they know. If they get the show, they get it.
It's true.
Yes. Let's start. There's a lot of stuff to talk about, and it was good seeing you on Saturday. Why did Ethan Piper make you cry last night?
Yeah, so I was at the Night at the Lead, Nebraska's event that's like the Oscars, but for their student-athletes. And he just, well, he almost cried. And so that, like, I'm pretty good at, like, holding it together until, like, other people start to show their emotion, and then I'm a lost cause, usually. And so he won Nebraska's most outstanding male student athlete. And like he had his speech totally prepared, and then he got up there and just couldn't do it. Mm. So he spoke from the heart and like got a little emotional when talking about just what this last year was like for him. And because remember, guys, like he had to relearn how to walk.
Yeah.
And, you know, had multiple surgeries on his leg and his arm. And, you know, football was taken from him in a very physical and very painful way. And, yeah, it's just when you think about it, it's tough. And then when you try to put it into words, he had a hard time doing it. But he got through it. But, yeah, a lot of people cried, including me. And then I saw him afterwards, and yeah, it was great. That's where I learned that he had a speech planned, and then it just went haywire because he just felt so emotional when he got up there. So yeah, he looks great. He's finishing out his student teaching at North Star, and then he will be teaching and coaching at Columbus Lakeview next year.
Awesome. All right. That's, yeah, I spent some time there with old Kurt Friends, and that's great. How's he doing physically? I know at one point he was really contemplating possibly trying to make a comeback and trying to give it a go and just realized that wasn't in the cards. But as far as that lengthy rehabilitation process of having what was just a terrible injury, how's he doing physically?
He looks great. He looks so great. He wasn't wearing a visible brace. Mm-hmm. I know that he's still going through the rehab process, just because you have to with those things. But he looks great. He's happy. He's excited to start this next chapter of his new life. He didn't go to the spring game this weekend because he was buying furniture for his new apartment and getting ready for the next chapter. So he's excited for what lies ahead, and I'm happy for him.
What can I believe in what I saw on Saturday? That was not just a spring game for the recruits and to have a little fun. What did I see that I could believe in 123 days that I will see again?
That the offense will be miles better than it was last year.
Just
I don't want to
over
particulars.
Overall or the passing game? Just the passing game.
I think when you can have a good passing game, that also opens things up to having a good running game because defenses don't know what to expect from you. So it's a little like chess. So, and I also think the run game will be better because you have, four different guys that are going to be really hard to get off the field. So how do you create opportunities for all of them? It's going to be interesting because you've got Gabe and Ramir who are working back from their injuries. Then you have Emmett Johnson who didn't play a whole lot on Saturday because the coaching staff didn't feel they needed to see a lot from him. They know who he is. And then, you know, Dalva looked great. So they're going to have a tough decision to make there, I think, this fall. But it's a good, tough decision, right? You don't want it to be opposite from that. So if I had to choose today who the starting quarterback will be, like, it, no duh, it's Dylan Raiola. But plenty of things can change in the off season. You never know, right? But you know, that's who I'm leaning toward right now, and as is I think everybody who saw that game. But I do want to point out though that Heinrich looked so much better
He did.
than last year. So I don't want that to get lost in everything. He's worked on his throwing mechanics. He's a lot more confident. And I think having more weapons at his disposal is helping him too. I think that just helps everybody. But yeah, so definitely gonna be tough. But I will say with confidence that I think Jalen Lloyd is gonna be a problem for defenses next season. My goodness.
Well, the kids say he is him.
Yes.
So do the middle-aged men. And
Okay.
I'm saying that today. I've already said I think he will receive all conference honors. I'm not saying first team, but I think he'll be an all conference wide receiver this year. His development and people he does participate in track. I loved his triple jump celebration.
Oh, it was
But
amazing.
if you're saying, hey, that's a track guy, no, you need to now say that's a wide receiver playing wide receiver. And what he has done to learn his craft and to always be learning and try and expand his game, I think it says a lot about him. And I think he's just going to explode. I loved him last year, and he didn't get as many opportunities because he didn't have a guy that could match his skill set. He does now, and bam. I think the world is, as they say, the oyster for Jalen Lloyd.
Yeah, he, you could tell that he had it last year, right? Because he was one of two people in the entire conference with multiple touchdowns that were like crazy, crazy long, is him and Marvin Harrison Jr. So elite company to be in, I think, on that. And I think you'll just continue to see that when you have him continuing to grow, right? Like, he's not a polished product. Like, he's going to continue to get better. And then you have a quarterback who has the arm talent to throw him the ball 80 yards downfield.
And Amy, is that arm talent, if there is one thing that you walk away from Dylan Spring and you say, okay, given the context of who did play, who didn't, but what he saw on a daily basis, is there one thing about what people took away on Saturday that are trying to pump the brakes and say, well, we'll wait and see when it's a real game, where you can say, no, it's go ahead and look at this part of what you saw. That will be there regardless. Is there a part of his game that you took away saying, I don't worry about the competition. This is always going to be a part of who he is?
That 2-point conversion throw that he made might have been the toughest throw he made all day. Like, that window was very small. And he didn't hesitate. He was confident with it, and it worked. And I think that translates the confidence, the willingness to do things that look really, really difficult because they are really, really difficult. That's going to translate, I think, to the fall.
What's the ceiling on this team? Have we established that yet, or is that still a work in progress?
I think that's still a work in progress, not because I mean, we don't exactly know what this defense is going to look like, and I didn't read much into the defense on Saturday because like half of the starters weren't playing, so I didn't want to make too many sweeping decisions and judgments based off of that. But I also don't know what other teams are going to look like, right? And we don't necessarily know what Nebraska is going to look like because whether they like it or not, a bunch of guys are going to have to go into the transfer portal because they're way over their scholarship limit. Or like we don't know what their second opponent of the season is going to look like at all in Colorado. They're going through it right now. So I feel like we'll get a better feel for that, just like what teams look like in July. But my way too super early probably will change prediction is 8-4.
Okay. All right. How much of that prediction and what you saw Saturday can either be impacted or could come back down because of special teams?
Yes. No. I mean, it's true. Yeah, maybe he just had a bad day, but I was not particularly coming away from that super confident in the kicking game. So we'll see. Maybe it was just a bad day for Tristan, but yeah, I'm not super confident as it stands right now. But an off-season of work can change some things. But and he has every resource available to him to figure this out. And maybe it was the operation, right? Like, we don't know that. I didn't ask about it. They do have a new long snapper, so maybe things weren't being placed right. I don't know. But yeah, there's definitely some things that need to get better in that department. Because when you can't make, you know, very pressure-filled situation field goals, that's not great. Because, I mean, you look at last year and how so many other teams won against Nebraska. Field goals.
Yep.
So that part does worry me a little bit. But also, if Nebraska can just blow them out from the jump, then I guess you don't have to worry about
that. There we go.
All right. You just play a coach in the paper. Yeah. Get chatter on this. Because you lived in that part of the country, and I don't know if you saw Keon Coleman this weekend. So he goes from Michigan State, Florida State, and now he's in Buffalo. Why is it that, and again, you were familiar with this area of the country, so you interviewed these guys and gals, but anytime somebody from southern Louisiana goes somewhere else that's in the sporting world, we fall in love with them when they're being interviewed. Because I'm guessing that Keon Coleman's comments about his Macy's jacket and when to buy a winter jacket, and also that he has the cook's number at the Waffle House in Tallahassee pinned on his messages, that we fall in love with these guys.
Beautiful. That was such a wonderful moment. Because partially, he's right, you know, buy your coats in the summer.
Yes.
Duh. Mm-hmm.
It's like drafting a quarterback when you don't need one. Go buy a winter coat in the middle of the summer when you don't need one.
Okay. We're not bringing the Atlanta Falcons into this.
Well played. Well played.
Picked that up right away.
Oh, I mean, my God. What were they doing? But I think that those guys they're just genuine. And I think that you see less and less of that. Because it's been, like, coached out of them to be, like, genuine in front of the media. And I think that when you get that realness, you know, it's endearing.
Yes.
Because people want to hear from people. They don't want to hear from robots. Sorry, robots. I don't want to be the first to go when you take over the world. But people want to hear from people. Okay. So...
That's exactly.
What?
No, I don't
just
mind. I don't want robots to take over the world. No. I don't want bots to take over my Twitter timeline.
Oh my God. The number of bots that have not safe for work things that have been replying to things that I've been reporting lately has been absurd.
Do they happen to have things in their bio? Because that's what I get.
So I now am getting like pictures.
Oh, okay. Ooh. That's not good.
Yeah.
Oh, like, please come back to the in bio tweets. That's fine. It's annoying, but it's fine. I don't want to open up my replies to, like, my posts about, like, anything relatively serious. And then, boom, it's, like, porn. Like, I don't want that on Twitter.
Yeah. Nobody does.
It's good to avoid it, yeah.
Some people think what Dylan Raiola was doing throwing the ball around on Saturday was football porn, but I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
What? That was a stretch, man.
Yeah, it might have been. It might have been. I'll take your A-hole of the Week award. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Great stuff. Have a great week.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Amy.
Amy Just from the Lincoln Journal Star. If you've not seen the Keon Coleman stuff, he's interviewed by the Bills media It's great.
Yep.
It's great. He's wearing this big puffer jacket.
Got it for $80
at Macy's. And then his discussion about the Waffle House. Like, if you are tight with the cook at the Waffle House, man, you are golden, Jerry.
Mm-hmm. And you pin the number.
Happy 70th birthday. But he is like the opposite of having a character concern.
Mm-hmm. Yes. When you hear that right away, you're like, where's this been for the past 4 years? A little character in there. He had a diva wide receiver always wondering if he was happy in the offseason with Stephon Diggs. You ain't going to worry about that with Keon Coleman.
Wrapping paper, Halloween candy, and your clothes. Buy them opposite their season. You're good.
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah.
Yep.
The question I asked Jacob Bigelow about Igor Milicic going to Tennessee. Nebraska was hot on his trail, wondering what was going to go on. John Rothstein has just tweeted that he is going to Tennessee, so I guess that's official.
He was just waiting for you to bring it up.
No NBA press release yet. That's where we'll find out who is in the NBA draft. So the waiting continues.
Do you want to give us proper Ryan Kalkbrenner announcement, what it might sound like?
No, yet. I can put a wrap on this Monday show on 1620 The Zone.